present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with an advert from the Wiltshire Reporter, read by Corrie Caulfield.
Rottweiler for sale. Perfect family pet. Eats anything and is especially fond of children.
Thanks to Sophie Lewis for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Mark Steele and Sarah Milligan. And opposite them on my left, Miles Jupp and Jeremy Hardy. Mark, why can't you answer this question unless you're on Twitter?
Ah, right. This will be about the injunctions and the super injunctions, indeed.
You look quite pleased with yourself.
Yeah, that's the first time I've ever got a question right. Yes, because a number of people, celebrity-type people, have taken out what's become known as super injunctions to stop various rumours about them being printed in the papers. Seems a little unfair, because when the tabloid newspapers write these stories about footballers with prostitutes, that's usually the only time those newspapers ever write something that's true. And they're being told they're not allowed to do it. Seems a bit unkind. But then, on Twitter, somebody put a message that there was... Right, we know who it is who's taken out all these super injunctions. We know which celebrities and which footballers and so on it relates to. But they also put some that weren't right at all, that were a complete lie. For instance, one about Jeremy Clarkson and Jemima Khan. There being lewd photographs of them together. And interestingly, Jemima Khan was very quick to dispel that rumour. whereas Jeremy Clarkson wasn't quite so quick. And I can imagine in their respective houses, one was going, "Oh, God, no!" And the other one was thinking, "Oh, I might let this run for a bit."
I heard Jeremy Clarkson was now head of Al-Qaeda. That's what I heard. Are you a Twitterer, Sarah? Is it your thing?
I am. I do mostly enjoy it. I put a photo up of myself in rollers the other day because it made me laugh. I'd had rollers in for a TV thing and I just said, "Oh, you know, I'm halfway done, you know, makeup." And somebody sent me a message that said, "Lovely makeup, but I think your thyroid is swollen." So I retweeted that, which means you then show everybody that, because I thought that was hilarious and also a little bit cheeky. But then I had about another 15 people say, "I think she's right about the thyroid." So I started off thinking I had a really nice photo of me in rollers, and now I've got a doctor's appointment.
I was, when I was sort of doing these shows lately, I've been sort of sending out messages to the sort of towns to say if there's anything interesting about this particular town, then please let us know what it is. One of my favourite ones was from Stockton, and the person who invented the match came from Stockton, and they're very proud of this in Stockton. And someone sent me a message on Twitter that said, "Joseph Walker, inventor of the match, came from Stockton. Before that, when people round here wanted to set fire to upturned stolen cars, they had to rub two sticks together."
What
a useful thing Twitter is.
The super injunction.
Oh, back to the pot. Yes. I love you, Miles, because you always pay attention to the game.
It's the game aspect of I like, the fact that there's rules and things like that.
Yes, I'm
always desperate for people to make contraventions and then me to point it out arrogantly. But with the super injunction, do people take them out because a paper gets in contact with them and says, "We know you've done this thing," and they go, "Oh, I don't want people knowing that," and then goes to court? Or is it, do people do a thing? Is it like getting drunk or something, and then you wake up in the morning and think, "Oh, God, I did that thing," and then you get on the phone, first of all, to your lawyer and say, "Oh, I did this thing last night, I don't want to," and then slowly...
You can name the thing. The super injunction doesn't cover all verbs. You can...
The thing about newspapers contacting you, what is an extra point? Why is that not the case? Why do newspapers not have to contact you that they're going to publish something?
Oh, because there's a law. There's a law that Max Mosley's trying to change.
Oh, extra point, Mark.
Yes.
Yes, very good.
We try to get the law changed so that a newspaper does have to get in touch with you before they publish the story about you and the four prostitutes from Blackburn. And say, "We're running a story tomorrow about you and the four prostitutes from Blackburn." And then you say, "Well, at least you've complied with the law."
Super injunctions are now thought to be unworkable after the names of celebrities who had taken them out were published on Twitter. Twitter only allows you to write 140 characters, so celebrities are now having to get round the problem of exposure by having affairs with people with exceptionally long names. 3 points to Mr. Steele. I think that's unheard of. trademark. Yeah. Won't last. Sarah, have a listen to this.
Repetitive, isn't it?
Who's happy about their first birthday?
This is the coalition, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Yes, it's the first anniversary. Anniversary feels wrong, doesn't it? Because it does feel a little bit like the first wedding anniversary of a couple you never really thought should have got together in the first place. I think I want me lamp back, you know.
Clegg said he wanted to put more distance between himself and David Cameron. I thought, well, that'll be why Dave has bought him a longer lead.
The one where he said, we need to make sure from now on the Liberals have a louder voice. Mm. So now we'll be going, we're breaking all our promises!
He's promised a more muscular liberalism.
It sounds kind of sexy, doesn't
it? Do you think? See, it makes me think of Ming Campbell in a vest.
I think they need a military wing. Yeah. That's what the Lib Dems need. They say we are firmly established in the central ground of politics, involved in mixed economy and liberal social values, and we're prepared to kill and maim to ensure that comes to pass.
They have Ashdown, don't they? Ashdown is a trained
killer. Yeah.
He must have killed a lot of people with his hands.
Allegedly.
No, he just will have done. That's their job. I don't know what else they do. People like Ashdown. Not now, obviously. Maybe you can still do it on a sort of freelance basis.
Do you mean not now, but when he was the leader of the Liberal Democrats, you mean?
I imagine he's got more time to kill people with his hands now that he's not leader of the Liberal Democrats. Or maybe not, actually. He's probably got more to do now than when he was in power. Yeah, it's hard to know at what point there was a dip in the number of people killed with his hands.
Are you political, Sarah? Is it something that...
Yeah, enough. I sort of read enough, but right. I don't get too sort of heavily into things.
Because there's no point.
Well, yeah, because it just changes every day, doesn't it? Just feel like you're permanently reading. if there was just a book that I could just read and then, you know, it's nailed, then that would be great. But, you know, they keep doing updates. I just need the York notes, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's the first anniversary of the coalition. Yeah. The coalition had planned to celebrate its first birthday with a party, but Cameron and Clegg couldn't agree on food, a venue, music, dress code, or the guest list. 2 points to Sarah. Miles, whose funding plans have caused a degree of concern?
Well, Sandy.
Yes.
This, I believe, is a man called, I think it was David Willits.
Yes.
Spelt the usual way. And he's got some quite important job in the sort of cabinet, is it, or something?
He's the university's minister.
Yeah, that one. And he's also the MP for Havant, and I'm sure he does a lot of good work for them. But he's an interesting man, David Willits, because he looks quite like a younger man who's put on prosthetics to make himself look older. All Russell Crowe's film, there's a clause in which they must film some footage of him with prosthetics on looking older. Perhaps he is... bizarrely, Russell Crowe. Although it seems even Russell Crowe would be unlikely to push through. What he wanted to do, David Willits, and this is...
Can I just ask a quick question?
Yes.
When you watch the news at home, do you give this kind of commentary?
Yeah, exactly. I watch it with my wife, and it's Sky Plus, and I pause and I say, now look, there is a much more complicated way of explaining this.
Yes. just get to the point, darling. What is it that he's trying to do?
He's tried and failed. What he wanted to do was create more university places rather than, for instance, fewer. And so,
posh kids get to bribe their way into university. 2 points.
Thank you very
much. Well, I don't think anyone's any the clearer now, Jeremy. That was just... that was Bolshevik waffle.
But part of the idea is, as I understand it, isn't it, that students could be sponsored. Is that right? They could be... So you could have a company, could sponsor them. Hospitals need medicine graduates, and so industry needs science graduates, and McDonald's needs arts graduates. You know, there's a sort of...
Sponsor form, and you like a pound a week or something like that.
I'm doing geography for Macmillan.
Yeah.
Do you think you'd have to put product replacement in your essays.
Science lecturers will be going, this next experiment is one in which we see how much of this green fizzy liquid here is displaced by this metal object here. And the liquid we're going to use is lilt with a totally tropical taste. That puts the fizz somewhat back into physics.
Do you know, you had them right up until the end. When I went to Cambridge, you used to get the BA, and then, I think it was a year later, you paid £5, and you got an MA. It was the most fantastic bargain.
So there's the £5 just covers the cost of the Tippex to change the B to an M, then.
Yeah.
So it's just like the whole education system is run by the mafia, then.
These policies of David Willetts that I was explaining so clearly earlier.
Sorry, Miles, I didn't realise you were still here.
No, I was fascinated by your university anecdotes. You must have learnt so much about yourself and indeed others. The David Willetts thing, I mean, we all know exactly what it is, because, I mean, I had it all pinned down. Anyway, 4 hours after announcing it, he had to climb down, because Cameron said, this is nonsense. Yeah. No one could explain this. It's impossible.
To a point where it's like the whole idea is that every single thing in society, you pay for your little bit. This is all part of that, isn't it? Every little thing, lamppost soon, will have little meters in. You'll put 5p in and it'll give you just enough light to get to the next one. Because why should I pay for someone else's light? I was indoors on the toilet. It's not fair. Everything. The fire brigade. Pay per gasp. I'm not paying for a fire brigade. I'm not on fire. I'm not suffocating. I didn't ask to be carried out of a window. Everything. These people are like that about everything. Look at all the money that gets wasted on guide dogs. I can't climb a tree. Nobody buys me a gibbon. It's just...
The university's minister, David Willetts, spelled in the normal manner, has defended proposals expected to be included in the university's white paper to allow extra non-publicly funded places to be bought at university. The Prime Minister was quick to distance himself from Willetts. This comes after he was also quick to distance himself from Health Secretary Andrew Lansley. Cameron must be in the Orkneys by now. 2 points to Miles after some effort. Jeremy, who didn't ensure their insurance was fair?
I know what this is, but I don't understand it. On my credit card thing, there's a thing called payment protection cover, which is £7.98 a month. I thought that was to stop identity fraud. That's the basis on which I agreed to it. But it's not that at all. It's if I get sick, then they will pay off my bill. And I think, well, I've probably been sick since I've been paying this. Certainly threw up at New Year.
But why has it been in the news, Jeremy? What's the reason it's been in the news?
They're having to pay out loads of money, which is why I rang the bank today. It's very hard to ring your bank and say, I've read this thing in the paper that I don't understand. Can I have some money back, please? And I don't think I should have paid. Should I have paid this? Have you been ripping me off? Tell me honestly.
Do you not think, though, that all these banking scandals have been quite boring? Like, do you not want the next banking scandal to be that the Lloyd's horse was caught snorting cocaine or something? Halifax Radio has been leaving lewd messages on Andrew Sachs's answer machine. 90% of those policies, those PPI policies, were missold. How do you missell insurance? Do you want a biscuit? Just kidding. It's an insurance policy.
Be one of those people that, you know, when you go and you buy something like an electrical shop, so you buy like some earphones or something and they're £5, and then they say, do you want the cover protection plan thing for another £15 just in case you drop them? And I always have said yes. It's only recently that I've realised what an idiot I've been. Yeah. It's like pessimism tax, because it's basically saying, we'll give you these, but they're probably going to be rubbish.
Yeah, yeah. Quick supplementary question. The PPI scandal was first uncovered in 1998 by which consumer magazine? Oh, no, wait a minute, that's not a question.
That sounds like a statement.
It is a statement, it's not a question at all. I feel a fool now. The high street banks have dropped their legal challenge over missold payment protection insurance and now owe 3 million people more than £2,000 each. You should always read the small print, shouldn't you? Honestly, I have to host this bloody show every week, and I thought I was just signing Greg Dyke's leaving card. So. Miles and Jeremy have got 4 points, but in the lead are Mark and Sarah with 5. We start round 2 with a cutting from the Southwest Observer.
A study of the link between alcohol and accidents has found that drinking just 2 vodkas is enough to increase the risk of falling for someone over 60.
And our thanks to Nick Barlow for sending us that. Mark, have a listen to this.
They call me Hal. They call me Stacey. They call me Her. They call me Jane.
Mark, whose staff are really made up?
Oh, you were doing so well.
I know it was the Ting Tings.
Yes, well, that was the music.
It's not Name That Tune.
I think I'd do better on that.
Is this the letters that have been going out with false names on the bottom? So yes. Letters have been sent out from... in response to people from number 10.
Yes.
The names are computer-generated. That's yes. What they're told, because there was a letter sent out and it had been signed Mrs. Adams, I think. Yeah. Somebody rang up to respond to the letter and said, can I speak to Mrs. Adams? And rather than just say, like we all would have done, oh, she's not in, or she's on her lunch, just lie. Instead, they said, it's a computer-generated name. She doesn't exist.
Well, and it wasn't anybody who phoned up. It was the Labour MP, Sir Gerald Kaufman.
Yes.
Perfect person to lie to, I would have thought.
But if they're computer-generated names, wouldn't they have been... I'm disappointed in their lack of creativity. I would have liked, like, a Lydia Dustbin or... Yeah.
I guessed it was fictional because I wrote to number 10 about recycling. I got a letter back from the Wombles. But it's because of security, Mark. They're worried that you might get a letter back that you don't care for from somebody at number 10 and find where they live and beat them up.
If you get a letter from number 10 from the Prime Minister, you know who it's from and where he lives. I mean, how can he possibly hope to hide his identity? He's not a superhero. How is that? What's that got to do with security?
Apparently somebody got followed home who works at number 10 who signed their real name and then...
What, by Gerald Kaufman?
No!
Why can't they do it like, you know,
I think
like...
I need Miles to explain this. I don't
Why can't they do it like, you know, when you sign like a leaving card? Why can't they do like, you know, all the best, all at number 10?
Yeah,
just in generic, that, or like the team or something like that, something generic.
They made a complaint about this, and the spokesman said, "Oh, we're going to look into alternatives to pseudonyms." But I mean, an alternative to pseudonyms would be presumably the real name. I mean, that could be. Unless there are, unless it was like the alternative to pseudonyms is sort of anagrams or something.
Your father is a vicar, is that right?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking, isn't it funny about people's attitude? Because Kaufman was absolutely furious to hear from somebody who doesn't exist, but, you know, if he'd been religious, he'd have been delighted.
God uses lots of names, though, doesn't he? Hmm? God uses Jehovah, Yahweh, Allah.
See? Yeah.
Lots of names God uses.
It's for security.
Fancy having to use a computer to make up a name. I mean, that would be quite a fun job, making up names, though,
if you got sort of Charles Dickens-type names and they came out from the MPs, you know, signed Mr. Fiddletill or something like that.
Watford Pancher.
Downing Street has admitted that since 2005 they have been sending letters signed by people who don't exist. Number 10 staff use pseudonyms as a security measure, explained spokeswoman Honolulu Wackadoo. Names have been used on correspondence ever since a member of staff was traced and threatened at her home address. Luckily, it was only where she was claiming expenses, so she wasn't actually there. Two points to Mark's team, I think, strictly speaking. Sarah, why is Britain on a high?
Oh, is this the legal highs?
Mm-hmm.
40-odd new drugs have been found in Europe. And I like to think that they're not just tablets, you know, like I'm not really big on drugs, but my legal highs would be like bubble wrap. Or like flumps, you know. Or the smell of a new notepad.
I think the names are very important. I mean, things like meow, meow.
That's when you squeeze a cat so hard.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that feeling.
I'd take a drug. I'd take something called Whoops There, or Hello, something like that.
I was in Amsterdam and I had... it's the only time I've ever taken drugs, because I thought I'd do it somewhere where it was legal. and I had a space cake, but I was just genuinely disappointed at the state of the cake. It was really dry. It just... Somebody needed to put some butter icing on it or something.
I really like going in there with your auntie. Well, I don't think much of this.
Do you know the problem?
I'm going to ask one of these talking squirrels what they think of it.
A Europe-wide report has revealed that the UK has become a breeding ground for unregulated drugs, or so-called legal highs. Last year, a Europe-wide ban of methadone, or meow meow, was instigated to the fury of cats across the continent who are unable to order any other drug. 2 points to Sarah. Miles, who has blown the whistle on backhanders?
Well, I wish... I wish there was a simple answer to this, Sandy.
Sarah, will you put the kettle on?
We tried desperately, but like everyone in Britain, I was absolutely very keen on the idea of us hosting the World Football Cup. And you had to go and sort of put a pitch into the FIFA people, who are run by a man called Sepp Blatter, which sounds like an anagram for split bladder, but sadly... sadly isn't. And we put together this sort of crack team of people that would be the best at persuading them that we should host the World Cup. We had top salesperson Prince William, we had the keen sports administrator David Beckham, and the competency juggernaut that is Boris Johnson. And for one reason or another, well, it turns out for one reason it was we didn't get the bid. It went to, I don't know, Russia and somewhere, I'm not entirely sure
Qatar.
Where it is.
Qatar.
Right, that place. And it's because... Everyone's been very corrupt about it, and they said, oh, we'll only vote for Britain if you give us certain things. Somebody wanted TV rights to something, somebody else wanted money for, I don't know, like a hospital or something. And one person wanted a knighthood, which is the most shocking of all. And our lot said to them, you know, that might be the way we do business at home, but that's not the way we... simply not the way we trade internationally.
Do you follow the football? Is there...
No, what I did when I first started going out with my fella is I memorised three names of footballers from his team.
Right.
The manager's name and when the transfer window ends, and I get by.
What's the team?
Aston Vanilla, as I call it. he doesn't like that. Aston Villa, yeah.
And, oh, well, that's Gerard Houllier.
Well, it's Martin O'Neill, because I don't update very often. Because I go out with them now, it was just to lure them in.
Oh, yeah. former chairman of the FA, Lord Treisman, has told a parliamentary committee that four leading members of FIFA wanted bribes to back England's bid for the 2018 World Cup. In response to the allegations, FIFA executive Jack Warner denied asking for the bribe and then threw himself onto the ground and rolled around, clutching his face. 2 points to Miles. Jeremy, who has skirted around uniform rules?
Oh, it's a boy of 12, I think,
yes,
who's at a school in a village called Impington. And he's a bit of an imp himself, because there's a no-shorts rule, which I think he should be delighted by, because when I was young and pretty and had the figure of a young girl, and this was all fields, boys were sometimes made by their mums to wear shorts. But now, because of health and safety, or some reason... boys are not allowed to wear shorts. And this lad wanted to protest because he thought it's unfair because he gets very hot in his trousers. Whether he's wearing moleskin or something, I don't know. But he's very, very, with thermals underneath. He's got a mad mum who makes him trousers. Oh, we'll save a fortune by making trousers from wood. And he spotted that, although there is a rule that he's not allowed to wear shorts, there is no rule that he couldn't wear a skirt. So he's wearing a skirt to school, which isn't that defiant. The defiant thing to do would be to fly in the face of the oppression and defiantly wear shorts, or even wear those kind of ones you get in trekking shops where you can unzip the bottom bit and pull it off in a dramatic moment, as though you were in Bucks Fizz or something like that.
When I was at school, we were asked to come up with original ideas for children in need, for ways of raising money. So we paraded the most popular boy in school around in a gym skirt. And we paraded him round class to class. And we offered him the girls, who probably wouldn't have been in with a chance with him at any point, a flash of his boxer shorts for £1.
Did
and
you
we
raise
£47.
12-year-old Chris Whitehead attended Impington Village College in Cambridgeshire in his sister's skirt in protest at not being able to wear shorts. His father, Brian, said, "I was worried about him getting picked on, but he just shrugged his shoulders, which, thanks to his mother's shoulder pads, looked fabulous." 2 points to Jeremy. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along, Mr. Steele.
This is from the Irish Independent. Now, who was it sent in by? Keith Doyle. There we are. Parish officials have been left red-faced after announcing plans to dedicate a mass in memory of Osama bin Laden, recently deceased. A spokeswoman for the Catholic Press Office confirmed there will not actually be a mass. "It's not really clear what happened," she said, "but the incident may have been the result of a mistake or a prank."
Ms. Milligan.
This has been sent in by Sam Merry of Gosport, and it's from The Economist. "Even at the height of his renown in the ring, Sir Henry Cooper could be found selling fruit and vegetables in the greengrocer's he ran with his twin brother George. It showed that he never lost touch with his roots."
Mr. Jupp.
This is from the South Liverpool Mersey Mart, sent in by Scott Massey. It's about a problem some local councillors have been having with an area with green spaces that have fallen victim to dog fouling. "Mothers have been patrolling the playground opposite, but to no effect. We need to be conscious of what can be done to stop people walking their dogs and defecating."
Mr. Hardy.
This was sent in by Rory Campbell of Lisbon, and it's from BBC News website. "Malawi has reportedly ordered the UK's High Commissioner to leave the country after he was quoted in a leaked cable as saying the president does not tolerate criticism."
Let's take a look at the final score. Miles and Jeremy have got 12 points, but this week's winners are Mark and Sarah with 13 points. Before we leave you, here is a cutting from Kingston Parish Magazine, sent in by Jeremy Watts.
"Church quiz tonight. Dinner and dessert will be provided, but please bring your own bowels."
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Mark Steele, Sarah Millican, Miles Chuff and Jeremy Hardy. In the chair was Sandy Topsett, and the news was read by me, Corrie Caulfield. The chair's script was written by Simon Littlefield, Roderick Crooks and John Luke Roberts, with additional material by Andy Walton, Benjamin Partridge and Elizabeth Hobbs. The producer was Sam Bryant.
The digital station for comedy, drama, and entertainment. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Sorry, can you just move those pens up? Hello, I'm Sandy Toksvig, and once again, you join me in the news quiz stationery cupboard for News Quiz Extra. Now, I'm going to have to be incredibly quick today because they want us to move out. They need somewhere to store all the fan mail for quote unquote. We're actually right next to the production office. If we just squeeze open the door.
Sorry, Sandy, I had a funny thing for you to overhear, but Andy's taken out a super injunction, so we can't even say rockery.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Coming up later on today's show, we'll be having our rummage in the archives, and I'll be talking to Miles Jupp, Britain's poshest comedian.
Hello, it's my first day on the news quiz today. I was just wondering if you know where I'm supposed to go.
Oh, Sarah, hi. Yeah. Have you seen the producer yet? Actually, don't worry, because he's given me a list of instructions. First time on the news quiz?
Yes.
Oh, well, actually, we need some bits picking up from the BBC store. Could you get a tin of Coalition Yellow and blue stripe paint, and we'll need some Murdoch-endorsed skyhooks. We're on a long wait.
Oh, OK, yeah, sure, happy to help out. See you in a bit.
Yeah, marvellous, thanks a lot. Now, unlike when Fred Macaulay takes a trip to the barbers, when we record the news quiz, a lot gets cut. So this is the part of the show where we sweep up all the bits off the floor and give you a chance to enjoy them. Miles, have a listen to this. Miles, why are art exhibitions all the rage?
There's a short answer to this, Andy. What it is, it's the National Gallery in London. They're soon to, I think November it is, although it'll preview in October, last week of October. Very simple answer to all of this. They are hosting a Da Vinci exhibition, and famously, of course, the capacity is 230 people for every half hour, but they're going to reduce it to 180 people for every half hour because people turn up at galleries and they just go nuts. Mm. They're crazed. I mean, you know, you've never seen anything like it. People just don't know how to behave in art galleries, basically, so they've got to reduce the number of people going in. People go, I mean, it's got like football.
I misread this when I wasn't really paying attention. It said queuing in the Sainsbury wing will be limited to 180 people. I thought, oh, just open another till, for God's sake.
There's fights in art galleries?
Oh, darling, Gauguin exhibition, it was the most...
People try to take the pre-Raphaelite end and stuff like that.
No, the Gauguin exhibition at the Tate, it was the most middle-class riot since Waitrose stopped selling loose avocados. It was the most...
One of the blokes in the gallery, he said, well, the trouble is, people come to the gallery and then they just stand around reading all the things that we've put on the wall and reading the brochure. They should read up before they come. And I thought, I go and see the pictures and I think, well, I better have a go at reading the words just to make it look like I'm not just there thinking, oh, that would go nice with our sofa. And apparently you're not supposed to read the words. You're supposed to run around saying, I like that, I don't like that, I don't know what that is, that doesn't look like him. And then quit out, and the next one in.
That's what I'm like, because I went to New York a few years ago and there was a particular painter that I wanted to see his work, and I went up to the information desk and I said, I only want to look at his work. And she got the map out and she highlighted the rooms that I needed to go in, and I went in literally and just clocked it and just went, logged, and then went to the next room, logged, like that. You don't have to spend ages round. You just log them. And then you can enjoy them on the sofa later on.
Well, you can always photograph them, can't you?
No.
Can you not do that?
I don't think so. You're not allowed to cameras now. In fact, I'm terrified they're going to ban pogo sticks because I shan't see a thing. I think it's... Last time I was at Tate, there was a lot of people, and I thought, what does this sound? It sounds like a machine gun. It was people tutting. Middle-class tutting is a fabulous noise, isn't it? Very loud.
All right, so it's middle class tutting. It's not people. It's not all the lads going in there and causing a rump.
When's the last
time? Can you hear the impressionists sing? Stuff like that.
When's the last time you went to the Tate, for example?
To the Tate? I don't know. I did go to an art gallery. Where was it? The Baltic. It was a flour mill, and it's the bloke got very cross actually because it sounds like a typical sort of ignorant thing, which I suppose it was. I went in there.
But that's why we have you on. It's funny.
Mm. I didn't have a clue, and I sort of went round, vaguely sort of registered that there was a chemist inside the art gallery, which I thought was quite peculiar, and it was Damien Hirst's pharmacy, an installation or something. I sort of went in and I thought, I'm really, really going to try and sort of see what it is I'm supposed to see, but it was just like a chemist. It's exactly what it is, just bandages and pills.
Please tell me you didn't ask for condoms. Please tell me.
Sure, they were there, and there was a bloke I was with, and I sort of touched one of the glass cabinets, and I said, if you sort of moved these plasters up a shelf, do you think Damien Hirst had noticed and go, oh, it's ruined? And as I touched the screen, this security guard bloke came over, pushed his face right into mine, and he said, don't you touch that, it's worth £11 million! And I said, oh, it's not now, it's only worth £9 million, I've ruined it. And he said, oh, you think you're very funny, you, don't you? And I thought, what a place this is. Even the security guards at the art galleries are hard.
Well, that's what they're going to.
You criticising Botticelli's perspective.
And here's another extra bit of fluff that you won't have heard. Mark, which island won't have so much time on their hands at the end
of
the
year? Oh, yes, I know this one.
Oh, thank goodness.
Now, this is fascinating because I've often wondered how this works, but the international dateline, obviously, you sort of go back and back and back in time if you go past sort of California, Hawaii and all that. And then eventually in the middle of the Pacific, you get to a point where you suddenly jump a whole day, presumably.
It's not the most exciting form of time travel, though, is it, really? It's not like the Tomorrow People or, you know, time travel.
No, but it's more practical. The island of Samoa is pretty much on the edge of where one day becomes another. And so they have decided that because most of their trade is with Australia, they're a whole day adrift of them. So when it's Sunday in Samoa, it's Monday in Australia. That day, they can't do any business with Australia because they're all doing Sunday things, going to garden centres or whatever Samoans do. And so they're going to miss a whole day. I think it's December the 30th. And then just be in tune with Australia, having lost a whole Samoan day.
Do you think all the smart people will arrange to, like, have lunch with their mother-in-law on that day? Yeah.
Do you believe in time travel, Jeremy? Do you think it's... I never did until I went to the Isle of Wight.
Well, you can have your birthday twice, can't you? But then you could do that if you just kept flying west forever. Then you'd just stay young, wouldn't you? The time would go backwards. I think that's science.
Yeah. The Pacific island of Samoa has decided to change its position on the international dateline to facilitate trading with Australia and New Zealand. Samoans will lose a day going from 29th of December to the 31st. I've done that. 2 points to Mark. Sarah, at the risk of boring you, how interesting is this question? You might feel better afterwards.
This is a study that boredom is good for you, because apparently it makes you more reflective and encourages you to seek meaning and can encourage you to be sort of quite altruistic. And examples that were given in the report were given blood and that sort of thing. But that's not the reason people gave blood, it's because there's biscuits.
This is absolutely on the Guardian's website. It says, boredom is good for you. See also Hugh Laurie at the Cheltenham Jazz Festival.
Ever been bored. I must have been bored as a child, but my mum used to give us homework in the school holidays. I think she wanted to make sure that our brains didn't go to mush. And there was always a swing ball for one, you know.
New research claims that boredom is good for you. The report was carried out by the University of Limerick. The research paper was 5 lines long and focused on a girl from Nantucket. I like limericks. I'd forgotten. You don't hear them anymore, really. I like limericks. I had a quick look at a couple. There was a young girl from Rabat who had triplets, Nat, Pat and Tat. It was fun in the breeding, but hell in the feeding when she found she had no tit for tat.
My sister had a dirty limerick book once, and all I remember is the last line. And it was... Oh, no, I remember that the first line, there was a woman called Mabel, and the last line was, shove your balls in as well if you're able.
I love this. This is a news quiz competition. Please fill in the remaining lines. Send them on a postcard.
Surely it was Vince Cable who was doing that.
Now, before today's show, I invited Miles Jupp to join me in a quiet corner for a bit of a chat. And just say, don't be alarmed if we both seem a little distracted during the interview. The thing is that Miles was being dressed by his valet and I was warming his seat for him. So, your very first news quiz... Do you remember it?
I do remember it.
All the alcoholic haze.
Well, in those days, there used to be a lot more drinking before the show.
What's happened?
There was a lot of vomit as well in the early days.
Jeremy. So does it get easier to do or harder because the news, frankly, doesn't change all that much?
The news doesn't change that much. You take your pastoral responsibilities very seriously. So for your first couple of shows, you think... I'll just sit here with my hands folded and then Sandy will say, Miles, what do you think about so-and-so? And I can do 3 jokes
or whatever. I like whatever. Everybody to play nicely together.
Everyone to play, yeah.
After that, you're on your own.
Yeah. No, it's like the beginning of a party, isn't it?
Yeah.
You introduce someone to someone and you can't then hang out. You know, you're the host of the party, Sandy. Yeah. You've got to make sure that everyone's...
I can't keep spoon-feeding you, darling.
No, exactly.
Who's been your favourite panellist to appear with or somebody that you actually like to listen to on the show?
Well, the person I've sat next to most is definitely Jeremy, so I feel very at ease either next to him or just hearing him, which is the same thing, I've noticed. Right. Also Fred McCorney, we go back a long way.
You worked with Fred before the news quiz?
Yeah, a lot in Scotland, when I was in Scotland. Fred and I once had hysterics on his BBC Radio Scotland morning programme.
You're just lying to me now, darling. I've been on that show 100 times, he's never there.
He's always, yes.
He's always playing golf.
Yeah.
How do you prepare for the show?
Well, I read the newspapers.
That's always a good start.
And
Richard Ingram never learnt that. He used to turn up and go, I've read nothing, and you'd think, oh, he's kidding.
But no, really. Not at all. I prefer for it by getting sort of slightly nervous and eating too many sandwiches in the green room. You sort of sit in the green room beforehand thinking, well, I'll focus on quiet, but you've usually got sort of glamorous guests in there, Sandy, which means that it's a bit sort of hard to concentrate. It's very hard to keep your eyes down if you're sharing a KFC bucket with Joan Armour Trading or something like that.
Well, she did come in one time, didn't she?
My first show, Joan Armour Trading, was there.
Do you have a favourite moment from your time on the show?
You were being very grumpy with me and I asked you not to stifle me and you said, where else am I supposed to sit? And then I was half laughing, half sort of out of control, and I dropped my pencil, which for me is, I mean, that's a big, it's quite a big gesture.
Right, it's time for a blast from the past. It's an odd place, the past, isn't it? It's where we keep our first day at school, Liberal Democrat, local councillors, Prince Philip's views on the French. Jeremy and I had a cup of tea, which he made, can I just say, and a listen to the echoes of this week in years gone by.
Jeremy.
Yes?
Oh, this one worries me. It says Blair in brackets. Doesn't
he wasn't on the programme, was he?
Lionel Blair, yeah, he was very good, 2005. This clip is from 2005 with Simon Hoggart in the chair. Those are the days.
He was good.
He was. And features Mad Frankie Ween and Alan Corran.
Francis, who's insisting that reports of his political death have been greatly exaggerated?
Tony Blair. It's a bit odd, all this, because he just won his third consecutive election, which is a Labour record. And immediately, Labour MPs have gone into total panic. They think the world's about to end. And he's got to go. And he was in a bit of a panic. You see him outside number 10, he was lip trembling, always a bad sign with Blair, and saying, well, the people have spoken, and I'm listening. And he's going to carry on listening. He's going to listen to all of us for the next few years. That's why he's got big ears. He's built for it. He can do it. And he listened jolly hard. And the first message he got from the voice of the people was that they wanted Blunkett back in the cabinet running child support. And he then listened a bit harder and heard this huge popular clamour for him to give a peerage to Andrew Adonis, so he did that. And it's been non-stop excitement ever since, this exciting new listening government with all its new faces, Jeff Hoon and John Prescott. Anyway, and that's it, and there's it's business as usual, as far as I can tell. But there is a new minister in the MOD who the Daily Mail claims is called Lord Smallpox. And I don't think this can be right, can it? Maybe.
Do you think Smallpox and Adonis will ever get together for some wonderful photo opportunities called up by this, isn't
it? Especially now that Ed Balls is an MP as well. I'm looking forward to that immensely. Every time he gets a ministerial job at a new department, there are all these headlines saying, make Balls to education, Balls to office. Make a Balls dropped at last. Sorry.
There's names from the past. It seems so important then. Jeff Hoon.
Well, yeah, but Balls, his career was only starting. That was probably one of the very first of the Balls jokes.
Yeah, many to come.
And I think they've used them all now.
Well, that's the end of the show. All good things must come to an end. I mean, just look at Eurovision. That's still going strong. Before we go, here's one last clipping from 2004, read by the delight that is Rory Morrison.
For many people, the boat race is an elitist event between two teams of privileged athletes. For others, it's an opportunity to renew old friendships. Harry Carpenter certainly thought so when, at the end of the 1977 boat race, he cooed, "Ah, isn't that nice? The wife of the Cambridge president is kissing the cocks of the Oxford crew."
The News Quiz Extra was presented by Sandy Toksvig and featured Jeremy Hardy, Mark Steele, Sarah Millican and Miles Jupp. It was written by Andy Walton and the producer was Lindsay Fenner.
And News Quiz Extra is back at the same time next week. If you liked it, John Luke Roberts and Benjamin Partridge, who write the jokes, are fantastic stand-ups and they gig around the country, so look out for them. You're welcome.